Out of all my guests I've had, I think this is a special guest because this is a guest that's coming from the motherland, the mainland, where I know from the Davy Rumsey's map collection, where the location of Yerushalayim is. And I don't want to mispronounce his name, so I'm going to let my guest come on and introduce himself.
Shalom. My name is Gift Kashitai. I'm from Sokopmund, Namibia.
So let's get right into it. How did you wake up? How were you called into the truth being definitely outside of America? We only know of America waking up and then, well, the American Negro waking up. We have never heard of any other of our brethren waking up, especially in Africa. How was that for you?
So it all started in 2022. It all started in 2022. I was deep into conspiracy theories. I was a Alex Jones, Andrew Tate fan. I would consume their content on a daily basis. Like it was so worse that I was worshiping these people. Like I was really like it was too deep. So I was listening to their podcast and consuming their content on a daily basis. So Andrew Tate 2022, like he was trending that year. He was trending that year and he was talking about the Matrix. So I went on YouTube, I searched the Matrix, and then I saw Truth Unedited's video. So I clicked on his video. I watched his videos and then I was like, damn, I was really like lied to by these two individuals. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was consuming Truth Unedited's video like on a daily basis, and then I went on his Instagram and then he gave you like a shout out on Instagram. Like he posted one of your posts on his Instagram story. So I clicked on your page, Sight to the Blind, and then I saw a Spotify link. I clicked on the link. It was hella episodes, like over 100 episodes. So I was like, how will I catch up? So I was like, okay, I would watch episode 1. Mm-hmm. If it drops on Sunday, I would watch it. Like just episodes with the old episodes at the same time.
That's amazing. Shout out to my brother Ron Charles. That I've heard that a lot, that we're somehow spiritually connected, because either they bounce off me to go to him or they bounce off him to come to me. But I think it's a beautiful thing that Yahuwah is doing for both of us, that he's allowing us to be like the ripple in the water and help bring young brothers like yourself into this truth fully and to understand who we are as a people. Now that you are out there, what is the cultural differences that you see now that you are in the truth that you have stopped doing culturally in your own country?
I wouldn't say like there was like a heavy shift or a heavy change, because I grew up Christian and majority of Namibians are Christian. So there is no like voodoo or any sort of worship. It's just like a Christian religion. So there's 11 ethnic groups in Namibia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an Herero person. We speak Oche Herero. So our elders, sometimes on important days, they talk to the ancestors.
Mm.
So they make a holy fire. They make a holy fire. And then only a select few of people sit there that fire, like no kids, no young adults, like only a select few sit at the holy fire. So when they talk to the ancestors, they talk about important or bad situations, like whether someone is getting married or whether there's a funeral. So they like talk and communicate with the ancestors, but I wasn't like deep into that ancestral worship and praise. So yeah, and some they still do it, but I'm not into that stuff. So I would say it's just like a Christian belief that I grew up in.
And where nothing do you think deep, the, where do you think major. The that Christianity doctrine came from? Because obviously it's people say that it's been around, or Africa created it through Ethiopia, that it's always been there, but it hasn't. Where do you think this doctrine comes from?
It comes from the Roman Empire, the Greeks, but our people believe the Bible is a white man's book. It's a white man's religion. Like, none of it is true. Some of them, they have that mindset. But Christianity is from, it's a Roman and Greek philosophy that was twisted into the real biblical truth.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to be specific, I would say, yeah, it's a watered down religion. And when I was in Christianity, I felt a bit feminine because it's a very, very soft religion. Like the way they preach, the way they talk with the church people, it's a very, very soft, watered down religion.
Mm. And what about your pastors? Here we have Greek pastors and Freemason pastors. What is it? What type of preacher do you have over there?
We have different denominations. We also have Freemasonry in Namibia. Like, I did my research last year. There's a Freemason building in the capital city, but I did my research. There's Freemasonry in Namibia, but I don't think they are involved in the churches. I might be wrong, but we have different denominations. I used to go from church to church. I was in a Baptist church, and you know, people were jumping and screaming, and then they were saying, like, if you don't jump or scream or cry, something is wrong with you. Like, you are crazy, you are demon possessed. And I was like, how am I demon possessed? Like, there was like, you are crazy. Like, you every day, you're just quiet, you don't say anything, you don't share your testimony. I was like, something about this church, it doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense. So I started to read the word for myself, and I did research on Christianity, and there is a population of 2.1 billion Christians in the world.
Mm.
And in the Bible, it says only 144,000 people will make it into the kingdom of heaven. So I was like, the Bible is a lie, or somebody is lying right here. Like, so I was like questioning, like, is the Bible really a true word? Is it really a true book? And I was lukewarm. It was really, really hard. So I did my research, and that's when I got an awakening in 2022 through Truth Unedited and Sight to the Blind.
And are you the only one in your family that's wakened up or woken up?
Yeah, I'm the only one in my family. Like, I have family also in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay.
My uncle and my aunt, they were born there. Right now, they still live there. I try sending them Truth Unedited videos on YouTube, but they wouldn't respond or give a reply. But I understand it's a Babylon mindset. With my grandmother, it's hard because she's part of the baby boomer generations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really like hard for her. Like, she believes in some of the things in the Bible she believes in, but some things she don't believe. Like, if the Most High, Yahuwah, really love us, why would he punish us? Like people in America, they went through their curses, right?
Yes.
So here in Namibia, we also went through our curses, you know, the Germans, South Africa. And she would tell us, like, if the Most High really loved us, why would we go through these curses? And I told her, like, no, we were disobedient. We worshipped false idols. We turned away from Yahuwah. And then I told my grandmother that we went through a curse. And my grandmother was like, why are you disrespecting me? Like, why are you saying it's a curse? So I'm from Africa, so certain words, they take it as disrespect.
And curse being one of them.
Curse, yeah, curse and ignorance. Like I told my grandmother that I told my grandmother that you're ignorant a little bit, and she was like, "Don't say that, or you will move out." Blah blah blah.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
No, I'm the only one. My mother passed away when I was 2 months, 2 months old. Yeah.
Man, so you really out here doing this walk alone?
Yeah, like the feast days. Yeah, it's tough, man. It's really, really tough.
But you have all that beautiful agriculture and landmarks around you. Have you looked into the David Rumsey map collection to find out where all the biblical cities are in, like around your area?
Yeah, yeah. I saw the David Rumsey map last year, and that was a confirmation for me, like, this is the Holy Land. I'm in the Holy Land. Like, luckily, I'm in the Holy Land. But the Holy Land is from southern Namibia to South Africa. So I did my research. Yeah, like we are definitely in the Holy Land. Places like Rehoboth, Beersheba, Canaan Land, Gibeon, Jerusalem, they are all in Namibia.
Is there any biblical locations around you that spark your interest that haven't been covered up?
No, no, no. I'm from the coast, so I'm really like far away from the south.
Okay. So you're like upper north, northwest?
I wouldn't say northwest, but it's like it's in the center, but in the west.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And how is that economy there? Like, are you going through inflation, or you guys' economy is pretty much chill?
Nah, there's definitely inflation. Like the unemployment rate is about 60 to 70%.
Damn.
And yeah, like unemployment is a major issue here in Namibia. So people do anything to survive, and which is bad, but at the same time, like, I wouldn't say I don't blame them, because the government really, they don't really, like, care for the citizens. And our president, our first president recently just passed away. He was buried, he was laid to rest today. Yeah, so it's really, really bad. And I feel like as the days go by, it's really getting worse.
And what do you think about African Americans moving to Ghana? Would you think, since you're in that around that region, would you think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
It's a bad idea, because most Americans, they try to move to Ghana and Nigeria, because Ghana and Nigeria are like the two popular African countries. So I don't think Americans there, they know a country called Namibia. So I advise them to go to Ghana, because it's the living conditions in Ghana, it's bad. Like, I would advise them to be like, yeah, Namibia, you can build connections, you can buy. The prices of food and water is not that bad compared to other African countries. So Americans, I would advise you guys to move to Namibia, South Africa, or Botswana, where our economy is better.
Oh.
Yeah.
And what about those landmarks? Have you gone out into some of these southern African landmarks, like the Drakensberg Mountains, or?
Unfortunately not, but I would want to go this year, if my budget is right, because it's price for fuel, accommodation, and it's like 6 hours away from where I live. So my budget has to like right financially. So, but this year, since last year, it was a goal for me to go to the south, especially Gibeon, where Yahuwah's stones rained down and killed the other Canaanite kingdoms.
Right.
So that's where I want to go, especially Gibeon and Jerusalem.
Nice. And so to give people a perspective on the size of Africa, it's not like you get on a bus and you just go maybe a couple hours. It's a long distance between each country, right?
Yeah, it's a long distance from each country. I mean, there are buses that drive from country to country in Africa, but I mean, some people, they don't really have the funds, to take a flight. So they go with the bus, and it's very, very long distances. And Africa, it's not a zoo. To all the people that are listening that still don't know, it's not a zoo. We have cities, we have towns, we have buildings, beautiful landscape. And you would be surprised if you would visit Namibia. Like, you wouldn't want to go back to America because there's like in America, the food, it's bad, right? It's bad in America. Like, the food that the people eat, it's not real food. So I would advise people to first come and visit Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they see Namibia or South Africa, then they can decide whether they want to move or not.
So how's is the food healthier there? Because it's not with chemicals?
Yes. I would say 80% because some of the fruits and vegetables, they don't have like seeds inside. There's no seeds inside the fruits and vegetables. So, I mean, they are starting to take the food through the labs and through labs, through injections. But I would say 90% of food, it's real and it's not tampered with.
So go back to your walk. Yeah. When you woke up, did you suffer through any spiritual warfare?
Yes, I did. Before I woke up, I had sleep paralysis. You know, like, I feel like someone was, I would say, demon attacks. Because I was attacked. I wouldn't say it's sleep paralysis, but every time I would sleep, I would feel a heavy weight on top of my chest trying to hold me tight. So it was, I had a spiritual awakening and also went through lust and alcohol. I had an alcohol issue, which I regret till this day. Yeah.
How did you know you had an alcohol issue?
Man, every week or every second week, I would go out and drink with some friends. And I would go out and drink with some friends, and then when I was drunk, I want to sleep with different women. You know, I would want to fornicate and sleep with women. I would want to fight. And in your recent episodes, you said if you continue to sin, you are one drink away, you are one smoke away to destruction, you know. So I was really deep into alcohol. I would want to fight. I would want to sleep with multiple women. And 2022, I had a large sum of money, but then I blew my money through my friends, through alcohol, and right now I still regret because I could have done something better with that money. It was a policy money that I got when my mom passed away. So that money I blew on alcohol, through friends, through relationships. Yeah, it was really, really bad.
And you felt like you suffered through this because your mom passing or not having a mom? Like, where do you think that alcohol abuse comes from? It wasn't just like, oh, I just like to drink. It had to come from something that happened or whatever you were going through that made you continually drink.
not having a mom and my dad. My dad is a deadbeat, you know. Hey, I hope he's not listening, but my dad, till this day, me and my dad, we don't talk. He's a deadbeat, and since I was a baby, he never supported me. But he is married with another family, and even though he's married, he still cheats, you know, on his wife. But the alcohol issue, the alcohol problem, it was, you know, I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be popular. You know, I wanted like everyone to know that I'm really that guy. So now I'm only 24 years old, you know, so that was when I was 21, 22. Right now I'm only 24 years old, and it was really like, I just wanted to be popular. I just wanted to fit in. I just like, like if somebody doesn't respect me, we have to get down and we have to fight, because, you know, I wanted all the girls to be with me, and it was just about popularity and trying to be that guy. Where I live, I'm from South Moon, so like, if your name is a bit popular, you get certain street cred. You are respected. Nobody can touch you, yeah. So I just wanted that little bit of power.
And so now, coming into this walk, do you feel like you feel that void or that space of wanting to be popular instead of being popular with the Most High?
No, like right now, I'm in a season of isolation. So I'm in a season of isolation, and2 months ago, like I was crying like heavily, like tears were just like running down through my eyes, you know, and it was through your recent, not your recent, it was through your old episodes on Spotify. You shared your testimony, you know, about your past life, and when I was done listening, while I was listening to your testimony, I started to cry. Like heavily, like I started to cry, and something within my spirit just told me, like, yo, you're listening to Larry Johnson. He shared his living testimony. You either take the narrow path or the broad way. I was like, damn, like I was really like, my spirit, like through your one episode, like I decided, like, okay, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to repent. I'm going to fast. And then I have to cut certain people off from my life. So right now I'm in a season of isolation. It's really, really lonely, but it's worth it.
And your isolation from old friends or old girls, how were you able to break that off with them, though? They just walked away when they know that you were in the truth.
Some walked away, and some of my close friends, they know I'm walking in the truth. So they say, like, bro, you are weird. Like, you are weird. Like, just live your life. And one of my friends just told me that if you don't end up in hell, that means your life was boring. He told me that from his own mouth. He said, like, if you don't end up in hell, that means your life is boring. And I was like, what are you saying? Like, And then from that day, I decided, like, oh, I'm going to cut him off. So, like, why would you say something like that? You know, right. If you don't end up in hell, that means your life was boring. And then they were, like, saying, like, you only live once. So you have to live your life. You have to spend your money. But some people walked away, unfortunately. Some people are cut off. And some people, they are still trying to get a hold of me when they see me in person, like, we don't see you at certain events. We don't see you at the clubs anymore. And I'm like, no, bro. Like, I follow the Mo Yahuwah and Yahusha. I don't follow the God and Jesus that you guys follow, which is a watered down religion, a lukewarm faith. So I told them that. They still don't believe me. My other friend told me that, yo, so I'm 3 years it's 3 years since I haven't like slept with anyone. So they would say like, bro, when was the last time you had sex? And I was like, 3 years ago. No, and they be like, man, you are lame ass. You are lame ass. a weird person. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, it's cool, bro. Like, I would rather be boring and righteous than to be popular and wicked. So,
right.
I made my decision. It's yeah. It's a deal. There's no going back.
I would say this: the people you cut off, or even the people that walked away from you, in the end, they will still turn back to you because the way this world is working right now is opening their eyes. We just see it firsthand because we chose to have the time to investigate and research all the symbolism and the conspiracy theories, and that's how most of us found the Most High. So in our process of finding the Most High and being isolated, it teaches us to be stronger without certain attachments in the relationships. And once we become stronger, watch how these people start coming back and asking you questions. Well, how do you do this? Or what do you think about this? Because I've had a homeboy that I've known from Las Vegas. He worked at a nightclub. That's how I met him. And then 15, 20 years later, you know, he's talking to me. He asked me the other day about Abrahamic religions and things that he studied. And I cut him off. You know, it was a point in time where I wasn't speaking to him for like 4 or 5 years. And like I said, bro, just be patient. They always come back. This is more or less than isolation to make you stronger and knowing how to deal with peer pressure rather than just not having those friends in your life.
Yeah, you're definitely right. You're definitely right. Like my grandmother, like recently she was asking me like, now since you don't do Christmas, like why do you celebrate? And I told my grandmother, I keep the feast days. And she seemed interested. Like, she was like, okay, like, what feast days? Let me know. Maybe I can join. And then I was like, hey, there's a little bit of understanding. There's a little bit of growth towards my grandmother. And I would also say, I'm proud your relationship with your mother, you know. Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't easy, but, you know, Your mother knows Yahuwah, Yahusha, you know, the true faith, not the watered down Christian religion. But at the same time, like, we are in the, you know, Agenda 2030, right?
Yes.
So, I don't think, like, there's enough time to be patient with some people because we are really like close to things when things start to get when Yahuwah's wrath and judgment start to take place in this world. So I struggle with patience a little bit, you know, with certain people, not with everyone, but with other people. I have patience. It's running out. There's no time to look back. So yeah, I agree with what you said. With certain people, it's patience. They will eventually come back.
And then with the patience, are you trying to help explain the word and the walk that you're on, or you want them to wake up as you woke up?
I'm slow in speech, so first, I would listen to someone on Spotify, and then I also tell them to listen to Truth Unedited. Once they are done watching and listening, then I would try to explain them and show scripture to back my reasoning. So I'm a bit slow in speech, so I try to provide other sources like Sight of the Blind and Truth Unedited. So those are my two sources that I provide with, plus with scripture. Yeah.
And what about the feast days? Is it different with the feast days there? Are you just doing them and cooking by yourself, or are you trying to bring in other family members and friends to help participate with you?
No, I do it by myself because it wouldn't make sense if something like it wouldn't make sense if someone doesn't know Yahuwah completely well and start doing the feast days, because your spirit shouldn't be unclean when you do the feast days and the offerings. So I would only like tell them like, yo, this is the feast days, we do this and this and this, and back in future, and we'll tell them, hey, okay. And I would first tell them, like, first seek Yahuwah 10 times more.
Mm-hmm.
Once you fast, once you repent, then you can do the feast days. So that's my advice. I tell my people, but I'm only the person that does the feast days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to lie. Some feast days I don't have financial resources. So after feast days, but this last year I used to fast on some of the feast days. You know, I didn't have the wood, I didn't have the wine, so
mm-hmm.
I would pray to Yahuwah and just tell him like, I don't have the financial resource to keep your feast days, so I would fast for this period of time. I would be away from my phone, and that's what like I'm trying my best, you know, to please Yahuwah. But this year I would get the right wood, I would get the wine. Feast days I did it right.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the feast days I didn't have the financial resources. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But long as your heart and your mind is willing, that's all that matters. And the Most High will definitely create an abundance in your life in order for you to serve him the way you want to serve him. And I think that's beautiful. That's something that we really, or rarely I've ever heard of someone actually fasting during the feast days in order to show honor and respect of the things he does not have, but he still has the heart and mind to pay attention to the feast days. I think that's, you know, an excellent example for those who are listening, who may not know what type of wood, who may not have a bottle of wine or places to go buy meat, you know, especially when we are facing inflation here. You know, we got to think of everyone, not just the people who are in the middle, you know, the middle of the economy. We got to think of people who are at the lower and at the bottom of the economy as well. And I think it's an amazing, you know, process on your part that you have to go through this during isolation. I think that's really preparing you for a blessing that you may not see coming in the future. That's really going to, you know, take your spirituality really out of this world. So, going through this,
yeah,
how are you going to prepare for this world, you know, obviously being handed over to the beast? Are you fully prepared for that?
Yeah, I'm fully prepared, because I was into conspiracy theories, and I would like wait for a certain event. Prepared. I'm also into numerology and gematria, but I'm still learning a bit. Like, I haven't mastered the process well, but I'm every day I learn like how to master and how to calculate, how to get the numbers right, because certain things in Namibia, it doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense. So
right,
I'm fully prepared, and yeah, I would say I'm fully prepared.
Do you have
and Elon Musk was with our president, so certain things didn't make sense. So I got into numerology and gematria.
What was Elon Musk with your president for?
Meeting, but they had a meeting. I don't know what type of meeting it was, but they had a meeting and they had certain conversations with each other.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's probably over the whole satellite internet thing.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Ready Player One?
Ready Player One, no.
Yeah, I watched that movie. It was basically about them bringing out a AI format, not really an AI format, but a video game format. But the backdrop to that is it was over the broadband wars, which is internet companies fighting over one major platform to be the internet service provider. And I think the reason why Elon Musk is going to different countries is to be that one internet, you know, provider that they merge all internet providers into one thing. And I think that's where we could possibly see a lot of blackouts. And I've seen, you know, I don't know what your internet connection over there is looking like, but do you feel like, you know, like Namibia could face a blackout?
Yeah, definitely. Like, last month, we had we didn't have like electricity for 7 to 8 hours, but it was during the day. Now, some days the electricity goes out at night for a certain period of time. So I definitely think that it's a message, you know, to all the ignorant people out there that don't know, like. Like it's definitely a message. Like, yeah, we do have shortages of electricity. Like, we don't have electricity for a certain period of time. Power outages, water. Some of it's closed during a period of time.
Well, let me ask you about the region. How close are you to the nearest mountain?
The nearest mountain, I would say 50 kilometers to the nearest mountain.
Okay. And what's that mountain called?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a 50 kilometers. I would say it's 100 and something kilometers. But it's in a small town called Usakos. Like, it's a mountain town. Like, it's full of mountains.
Which would pretty much back up what the Most High was saying about in Ezekiel. I think it was chapter 30 to like the end of the chapter. He was talking about bringing Gog and Magog down to his mountains or down to his country. And he always emphasizes that these places are abundant in mountains, so that also makes sense why the real Yerushalayim would be in that area. So we almost at the end of the show. What advice would you give to other 24-year-olds who are also struggling with a vice? It may not be alcohol; it could be something else. But what do you tell them, and how do you help them understand the fasting that needs to be done really to expel those unclean spirits?
Good question. My advice would be, I know you are young. I know there are young believers in this faith, but my advice would be, like, there's two choices. You either take the narrow path or the broad way. Like, the popularity on social media, it doesn't matter. The boyfriends and the girlfriends and the fornication will lead you to hell. So my advice would be, take heed unto Yahuwah's word, read the Bible, read the Apocrypha, and have a personal relationship and a strong foundation with Yahuwah, because we are in the end times. The messages are right there. Too many subliminal messages that is going on right now. So my advice would be, it's hard. Like, as a young person, you know, to all the youth out there, it's really, really hard to turn away from sin. So my advice would be, like, choose the narrow path or the broad way. Like, choose wisely. The choice is yours. It's up to you.
And how did you fast? Did you fast for a couple of days, 24 hours, no food, no water?
3 days. I do a 3 days fast. And now next month, I'm trying to do the Baruch fast, which is 7 days with no water and food. Woo! So,
woo! I definitely gotta get it. I definitely gotta contact you when you start that fast.
Yeah, like I would reach out. I would reach out to you. So, next month I'm trying to do the Baruch fast, and I have to be prepared mentally.
Good, good. I appreciate you coming on, brother. I know our time difference is crazy. It's probably like what, 8 o'clock there right now?
It's 8:45 right now.
Yeah. But it was definitely a joy, man. Hopefully one day in the future that we actually get to meet up and the tourism of Namibia, I'm gonna rest upon you to show me where to go and what to do and places I should go and shouldn't go. So I truly appreciate you coming on the show and letting us know how your walk is going, especially as a young man in this walk.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I'm thankful to be on this podcast. And to all the listeners that are listening right now, I'm a bit slow in speech, but I just hope that you guys got the message and, you know, the accent and my lack of speech. But I'll get better with time, you know. I will get better with time. I just want to say thank you.
Well, before you go, give me something in your native tongue to make you feel comfortable.
I'm not fluent in Ocherero, unfortunately. I'm not fluent because my grandmother went to the U.S. for a certain period of time. So when she came back, we grew up with an English language. So, and a mamu pradene, o mambo ya yahua mu pratene mu retho mpepela mu change your level yenu because we are in the end time. So ene mamu pratene memurari like mu change because we are in the end times. Tangi mona yahua mirimba ko podcaster ya Larry Johnson na Mwona yahuwa, mesha na ndangi, okuhepa, Larry Johnson na mumutarera, mumumplesa, kwa podcaster ye.
Dope. We ended on that, bro. Lovely. Yeah. I love that language.
I'm not fluent. To all the Herero people that are listening, hey, don't come and attack me. I did my best. I tried.
we'll just blame it on colonization, my bro. We just blame it on the way. That's what happens in the curses. We lose ourselves.
Yeah.
All right, my brother. I appreciate you.
Shalom. Take care. Shalom.